Good morning. I'm honored to be up here this morning and able to share with you from God's Word. Before I begin, if you don't mind, please join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We are grateful to you for what you have done in our lives, what you have done in our lives in 2018, God. We are excited about what you are going to do in our lives and through this church in 2019, God. The Word says that where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, you are there in the midst, God. So I thank you for your promises. I commit this morning to you, this service to you, and I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to start off this morning by asking a question. What does the Word of God mean to you? Let me repeat the question. What does God's Word mean to you? I am sure that in this room, I would probably possibly get a few different answers. And in America and throughout churches here in America, the answers would definitely vary. There was a Gallup poll done last year that asked Americans what they believed about the Bible. I think it was called their Faith and Values poll. And here are the results. Fewer than one in four Americans now believe the Bible is the actual Word of God and that it is to be taken literally. 24%. A slightly higher percentage of people, 26%, view the Bible as a book of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. And the remaining 50% say the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but that not all of it should be taken literally. The conclusion of that Gallup poll is this, and I quote, "Over the past three decades, Americans' view of the Bible as a collection, the view of the Bible that it is the Word of God has been declining. While their view that the Bible is a collection of fables, myths, and history recorded by man has been increasing. This shift is most pronounced among young adults, indicating the trend is likely to accelerate in the years ahead." So where do you fall in that poll? Do you believe the Bible is a book of fables and legends? Or would you consider yourself maybe to be like a cafeteria Christian, someone who gets to pick and choose what they believe and don't believe about the Bible? You assume that some of the stories in the Bible happened, and some probably didn't, that there are portions of scriptures that are perhaps fairy tales. Let me share with you this morning what I believe. It was 20 years ago that I lived not too far from here on a family farm right over across the field. I was at a point in my life that I was going nowhere. I was bouncing around from college to college and had no direction in my life. And my lifestyle did not align with the Word of God. One evening, and I do remember it quite well, I was sitting on my bed and I opened the Bible and I began to read. The verses that I remember were Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." That night, the Holy Spirit strongly convicted me. I did not want to live according to the flesh anymore. I knew that the current environment that I was in was not a healthy one. I also knew that I needed to finish my college degree. It was during the summer of 1999. Shortly after that, I began to search the internet for the largest Christian universities in America. I wanted to be in a Christian environment, and I wanted it to be big. I came across Liberty University. Never heard of it before, didn't know anything about it or its history. But I downloaded the application, filled it out, and mailed it in. A few weeks later, I received a letter or a phone call in the mail, I don't remember which one, and they told me that I was accepted. The fall semester was quickly approaching, and I didn't have much time to make a decision. By God's grace, everything fell into place. And in August of 1999, I loaded up a minivan that my parents gave me, and I drove over 800 miles one way to attend a university that I knew nothing about nor ever visited. And I am so thankful to God that He directed my path. It was at Liberty University that I met so many people who loved God and His Word. I was blessed to attend convocations three times a week where outstanding Christian leaders would come from around the world and share from God's Word. And it was at Liberty University that I began to thoroughly study the Bible. I wanted to know everything I could about God and His Word. And so I got my Bachelor's of Science degree in Biblical Studies. Folks, I love God's Word. I believe God's Word. I have read the entire Bible through and through and have studied and researched it and continue to do so to this day. So this morning, I would like to share with you three important points about the Word of God. The first point is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 18, verses 30. Psalms 18, 30. Listen to what David says as directed by the Holy Spirit. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. The word that I would like us to focus on in that verse is the word flawless. Now, depending on what translation of the Bible you use, the word there could be tested, true, or pure. In the Hebrew, the word is seraph. And what's unique is that the word seraph is a verb. And what it means is to test and prove true. It is a word used to describe the refining process of gold or silver. David also used the word in Psalms 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver purified, or seraph, in a furnace on earth, refined seven times. The idea here is that God's word has been tested as silver or gold would be in the fire. And that the principles of God's word are faithful and true. The promises found in the word of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 119, it repeatedly states that the word of God is true. Psalms 119, verse 142, your law is true. Verse 151, all your commandments are true. Verse 160, all your words are true. From the book of Genesis and the story of creation to the book of Revelation and the great white throne judgment, what is written in the word of God has either happened or it is going to happen in the future. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe God destroyed all living things on the earth with a flood and only saved Noah, his family, and the animals on the ark. I believe God called Abraham and hundreds of years later delivered his descendants from Egypt with great signs and wonders. I believe God led his people to the promised land. I believe the walls of Jericho came crashing down when the children of Israel marched around it. I believe God used judges to deliver his people from their enemies, that when David was a youth, he killed the giant Goliath, and that God used prophets to let his people know of things yet to come. I believe the prophet Elijah did not die, but was taken to heaven in a whirlwind, and that the prophet Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of a great fish. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We're celebrating that now at Christmas time. That he lived a sinless life and that he died on the cross for my sins and yours. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. I believe that there is no name under heaven which we may be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, I believe that Jesus is coming again. Folks, I believe the word of God. This is not a book of fables, legends, and myths. God's word is true. And because the word of God is true, it brings me to the second point I would like to make this morning. And that is, the word of God is useful and should be applied in our lives. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We as believers should read the entire word of God and apply it in our lives because it is truth. Psalms 119 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that speaks of the importance of applying God's word in our lives. I'm going to read a few of the verses for you in Psalms 119, starting in verse 1. Psalms 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. Verse 4. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Verse after verse after verse in Psalms 119 speak of the importance of reading God's word and applying it in our lives. In the verse we read prior to this from 2 Timothy, Paul states that the scriptures are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Let's take a look at these four uses for the word of God in our lives. First, for teaching. This word can also be translated as doctrine. Our doctrine should be based on the word of God. We should not formulate our doctrine and beliefs from traditions, human wisdom, philosophy, or science, but rather the word of God. Listen to what Jesus said when he rebuked the religious leaders in Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And Jesus said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. When experts, scientists, or scholars contradict the scriptures or the truths found in God's word, I do not disregard the Bible. Instead, I believe the Bible and I reject the opinions and beliefs of those who contradict it. God's word is useful for doctrine. Next, God's word is useful for rebuking and correcting. Has anyone here other than me been rebuked or corrected by God's word? Listen to what John MacArthur says about this topic in these verses. Scripture exposes sin that can then be dealt with through confession and repentance. Scripture not only rebukes wrong behavior, but also points the way back to godly living. Going back to Psalms 119, listen to verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need the word of God to keep us on the right path. God's word is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking and correcting. And finally, the word of God is useful in our lives for training in righteousness. The Bible is to be a guide for us for godly living. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Spiritual growth is always evidenced by a desire to spend time in God's word. Romans 12, 2. Some of you probably know this one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The Spirit of God can and will renew our minds as we meditate on God's word. When my wife was first a Christian, she told me she had a job where she drove and delivered auto parts all over Pennsylvania. She would drive for hours every single day, and she had cassette tapes of the New Testament. She listened to the Word of God a lot. Her mind was being renewed, and the Word of God was training her in righteousness. God's Word is useful and should be applied in our lives. The final point I would like to make this morning about God's Word is that God's Word is unchanging. The Bible is not going to change. Because God does not change. Hebrews 13:8, a verse that is quoted quite often. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. We live in a world where morality is constantly changing. Sins which were generally condemned not too long ago are now widely accepted. Just take a look at the changes that are taking place here in America. We are trading the absolute truths from God's word for moral relativism. Listen to some of these quotes about philosophies that are popular today. Truth is what is true for you. Speaking your truth is the most powerful truth we have. There is your truth and there is my truth. As for universal truth, it does not exist. And now today, if you have a biblical view on sin or a biblical view about salvation, you are called intolerant or hateful. However, this isn't surprising to me. I expect the world to reject the word of God or to change biblical truths to fit their morality and values. Many people who reject Christ still consider themselves spiritual, so they demand a God that is flexible and tolerant to their morality and standards. They view God as progressive, and that as our culture and values change, so does God. But unfortunately, this is prevalent in the church too. Certain denominations, churches, and pastors are changing and perverting the word of God to blend in with the culture or to keep with their man-made traditions. Some of the strongest warnings in the Bible are reserved for anyone who changes the word of God. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and you will be proved a liar. And finally, in the book of Revelation, a very strong warning right at the end of the book, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. The word of God does not change with our culture. The word of God does not change based on the majority or the popular vote. God's word will not change as our man-made laws do. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's take a look at how religious people pervert the word of God. First, it says that they add to the word of God. In Jesus' time, it was the Pharisees and the scribes who added burdensome rules and regulations to God's word. They taught that being accepted and loved by God was something that had to be earned, and that unless the people followed their laws and interpretation of them, that God would reject them. The yeast of the Pharisees is still alive today. There are churches, denominations, and pastors that add rules and man-made traditions to the salvation message that is found in the Bible. I lived in Virginia for 13 years, and being in the Bible Belt, visiting different churches, I have seen this firsthand. In some churches, you had to dress a certain way, read out of a certain translation of the Bible. Women couldn't cut their hair. They couldn't wear makeup. They had to wear dresses and long sleeves so no skin was showing. You couldn't play electric guitar or the drums. You couldn't have television or the internet in your home. Had to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night. That you couldn't be saved unless you were baptized in their church. And you shouldn't socialize with anyone except members of their particular denomination or church. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't teach any of these additional rules and commands in order to be saved? The gospel message is actually quite simple. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then two verses that all Christians should know and have memorized. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. Our salvation is based on the work of Christ, not our good deeds. We cannot earn our salvation. Do not add to the word of God. The second way that false leaders and teachers pervert the truth is by taking away from the scriptures. They actually dismiss entire portions of the Bible as mere fables, whether it is the account of creation, the virgin birth, or that Jesus is the only way. They would rather use human reason and theories to validate their claims rather than believe the word of God. They use verses like God is love to justify sin, deny eternal consequences, and blend in with their culture. Listen to Jude verses 3 and 4. Jude 3 and 4. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. The verses here in Jude make it clear that there are people who pervert God's grace to justify any and all lifestyles. It also states that they deny Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We do not get to choose our own way to heaven. We either come through the door of Jesus or don't come at all. We as Bible-believing Christians are to be alert against anyone who adds or takes away from the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Peter also gives a similar warning. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. God's word is unchanging. And for the believer, this truth should provide us comfort. We do not have to worry that God's plan of salvation is going to change, that all of a sudden or at any time, God could add additional requirements. That should provide us comfort. Or that if he's going to make a different path. However, for the unbeliever and those who reject Christ, the fact that God's word does not change should cause fear and distress, because they have rejected the only means of salvation. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. As I'm closing, let me repeat the 3 points that I have made here this morning about the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God is true. It contains the truth, and it points us to the truth, Jesus Christ. Number two, the Word of God is useful and should be applied in our lives. It's useful for doctrine, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And then third, the Word of God is unchanging. Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So what should our response be? Well, we can trust what the Bible says. We can trust the God of the Bible. The Bible is the source of truth and contains everything we need to know about life on earth and the life to come. We need to meditate on the Word of God and study it. One of my favorite verses about the importance of spending time in God's Word is in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let's purpose in our hearts that in 2019, we will be a church that values the Word of God, a church that spends time in the Word of God, a church that does not compromise the Word of God, and that we apply it in our lives, and the love of Christ shines forth from us and reaches this community. Please join me in prayer. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning, and thank you for the message that you laid on my heart, God. Your word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, God. Thank you for providing your word, God. Thank you that your word points us to the source of salvation, your son, Jesus Christ, God. Help us in 2019 apply it in our lives, God. Study it, God. Thank you for my small group, God, that we get to study your word every Friday night, God. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus. I ask all of this in his name. Amen.